Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. Today is part two of our three-part interview with Christine Smith. Now, Christine is not just a public speaker and public figure. She's an author, but she's also a conservative commentator, conservative Christian commentator, who is an avid, outspoken supporter of President Donald Trump. And her beliefs, and I'm in agreement with her, is that President Trump was anointed by God to give the United States basically one more chance to repent of our national sins and turn this nation around. And he is doing just that. Now, you may or may not agree with that, but you will not be able to dispute the facts that she is presenting today as we continue with our interview. Now, this is just part two. If you missed part one, you need to go back and catch up, because we don't have time to replay all the things we talked about yesterday. And be sure you come back tomorrow and join us for part three when we conclude the interview. Now, here is Christine Smith.
It's their power. Yeah, love of power.
We need to, you know, I am totally for term limits and things like that. But who has to vote on the term limits? The lawmakers who are there.
Exactly. And you made a very good point, you know, and I like that. It's their place and then the nation. Mm-hmm. Number one, when you see throughout world history, those with the power in tyrannical governments and the evil, you know, and dictatorships that we see, they do very well for themselves. And what do? They always use the words that they are there for the people, and they divide the people, and they act like some are victims, and we are going to give you, while they are living high, and those people often are suffering, starving, and barely have anything. And that is what socialism does, and it's very sad to see how rampant that has been accepted, especially among young people. They do not know American history, and they're not going to necessarily get it in most of the higher institutions, education in our country. So it is up to us, you and I, to educate. But I will say there comes a point where people choose that evil inside. And when we talk about those in their place, as you just now quoted, they don't want to lose their place, but they're going to lose their place. I believe they're going to lose their place, not only politically, we're going to see that happen, not only with our good President Trump, but also with the legislature, I believe, the next election. But they're going to lose their place. They're going to have very miserable lives. It's not for us to bring those consequences, but that is where each of us need to remind ourselves. I know I must remind myself that your faith must be strong, that those consequences also come to them in the miserable lives that they are going to experience. But there comes a place where you choose evil to such a degree, and I think many in politics, in our in the House of Representatives and the Senate, has chosen evil to the degree that I consider them to be human demons. Yeah. They have perverted their hearts. They have chosen such darkness that is their orientation, and facts isn't what it's about. You need not argue with somebody whose fundamental values is anti-God. Yeah. I don't care if they use God's name. The fact is, which I think would probably bring with it, I think that's a dangerous thing to do, but they do it. But you can't trust their words. You look at their actions. And I think that many of them are, it's just a demonic choice. They become human demons in the body, and everything they're going to do is that. And that's how we must view them. They are not someone you can sit down and talk with and have a cup of coffee with, so to speak, and that they will see the light. No, they have have chosen the darkness, and don't you ever forget it. And that is why you must be strong. This is nothing that you can compromise with. This is nothing that you must be very strong in what you believe and support those very few who are doing that. And you're right. Republicans aren't any different. They're no paragons of virtue, and they haven't been for decades. Exactly. All of the past presidents, in my opinion, going back to Reagan, he's the last good president I believe we had. All the others, regardless of political party, I feel only did evil for our country. Yeah. And now we're turning back, and we better go there and take this opportunity and seize it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even the Democrat, sweetheart John Fitzgerald Kennedy will be considered a conservative by today's standards.
Exactly. I know. When you listen to Kennedy and what he was challenging, I mean, you know, we talk about draining the swamp. He actually wanted to do the same to a very high degree. Mm-hmm. So you do see that. The Democrats, and frankly, although it crosses both parties, the Democrats are completely gone. I consider it the demonic party of the United States.
Yep.
And nobody who loves God would remain a Democrat. Now, if you have your little God, your little pseudo-God, your little humanistic New Age God that you call a she and fits in, you know, the Bible speaks of that people turn away from truth and they look for doctrines that support them in the name of God versus listening to God. Well, you will have the consequences to pay, but that is not what Jesus taught. That is not what the God of the Bible taught. And I think that it's time that people be very strong and vigilant, because this is a spiritual battle. But I think that we've gained a lot. We've gained a lot in the last 2.5 years. And I frankly, Pastor Bob, didn't think it possible. I thought we were so far gone. But this last election is what saved the country. I don't think we could have survived had it been different.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And, you know, when I remember election night, you know, sitting there watching the results, waiting to see them coronate the queen, you know. And when I turned on, you know, because I don't jump in right at the beginning. I got other stuff going on. But I popped in about 8:30 or so. Well, let's see what the tallies are. And I'm like, wow, how cool, you know. And I went back and forth between Fox and CNN. It was like you're watching two completely different stories, you know. And one, they're like, wow, this is awesome. And then the other one was like, how can this happen? How can this be happening? Christy, just for in case somebody can't listen all the way through, mm-hmm. I want to take a moment and let you tell them how they can get in touch with you and contact you if they have a question or want more information. Go ahead and give us your contact information.
Well, certainly. Thank you. Anyone listening to me who would like to hear other radio interviews, read my essays, be in touch with me. I'm a writer and public speaker and a business consultant. Simply visit my website, christinesmith.us, and there's a place on there for you to email or telephone me.
Amen. I'll put links to all this down in the show notes as well. Now, you know, we were talking about the demonic influence going on in D.C. right now, and I firmly believe that we see, you know, the Ephesians 6, you know, the princes and principalities and powers of the air, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in high place. We see that at play every single day. I mean, and then when you watch these politicians and they're being interviewed, I see it in their eyes. You know, I agree. They are definitely under demonic influence. I mean, how else can you say, you know, you believe in God, you believe you are a Christian, and then go vote for everything that is anti-Bible?
Exactly.
That does not make any sense.
And the churches are to blame for much of this. Some of these politicians seem to pride themselves and want to identify at certain times of the year and proclaim their religious affiliation. And I find it to be abominable, frankly. And I'm not God. I'm a Christian. But the spirit inside of me finds it to be an abomination when you go and make votes and support the murder of millions of babies, when you you go and support such evil legislation to allow open borders when it is God who created the borders, our nation's borders. He created the nations, and he calls us to defend our nation. We are set apart. We are, you know, that righteous city on the hill, that light. Mm-hmm. And God blesses the righteous, and he withdraws that blessing from those who choose otherwise. And, you know, in Psalms, it says, blessed is the nation, you know, who chooses God as their Lord. Amen. And we receive his inheritance. So to separate yourself from patriotism, to separate yourself from nationalism, which is a good word and which is a necessary part that every Christian should embrace, and that is American nationalism, and I believe that to be biblical. And you take a look, think about it. Our enemy right now, the form that it takes right now, is globalism. And I understand that's coming from the Marxist agenda. But the goal of globalism, which we see being expressed by many Christian teachers as well, is completely antithetical to what God has chosen. You are declaring that you have more wisdom than God, that your will to join together, well, there's nothing in the Bible that indicates that. On the contrary, you know, in Israel, the good kings, they built walls. Nehemiah built a wall surrounding Jerusalem, and it was blessed, you know. Throughout Psalms and Proverbs, there are numerous references, and I'm digressing for a moment, but I think, you know, the immigration situation and the wall, the border, when you talk about this evil legislation or the obstruction of someone who wants to defend us and protect us, it's very important for Christians to get this clear. Metaphorically, throughout the Bible also, walls are designated with good and blessings, and broken walls as crumbling and as disastrous. Yeah. The nations, God made the nations first and foremost. And basically, we are instructed not to globalize. We are to create a wonderful, beautiful nation, a righteous nation, following God's will unto ourselves. We're not to take in all of their false values. We are unique. And that goes back to how you and I began speaking today. Our founding principles were biblically based. We have no business joining with nations who are not. Just, you know, in the Bible it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. A lot of people only apply that to whom they marry and become closely involved with. But no, that applies to the friends you make. And that implies, as if you are choosing a righteous path for your country and a righteous leader, as we now have, you're not unequally yoked and thus brought down to the depraved level of these other nations. And that's what globalism does.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, when I was looking at this, the first declaration of any type of border was actually in the Garden of Eden.
Correct.
You know, when God said, okay, you know, you're not living according to the rules of the land here, out you go. And, you know, they got, you know, sent out, and there was a border put there where they couldn't get back in.
That's exactly right. I mean, from the very beginning, you're exactly. And then after the flood, and then we have the Tower of Babel, God's intervention. That's a clear example for us to be separate, because some people are going to choose God's way in their nations, and some will not. Mm-hmm. And it's very important, as President Trump has on numerous occasions said, without a border, we don't have a country. And God has destined that we have a country.
Well, also, it seems like anytime anyone talks about nationalism, they are labeled as a racist and all sorts of different things by those who are, you know, practicing and promoting and enforcing standards of immorality on the rest of us. Define the difference between nationalism and patriotism, and why you believe Christians should embrace actually both.
Sure, thank you. I would. My definition in regards to patriotism, I'll start with that one because most people are going to relate to that. I view it as an honoring and embracing, you know, of the founding principles of our nation, you know, and that's, you know, our traditions, our language. It's really, truly that love of your country. And then I would, in regards to nationalism, I would define it as that loyalty and devotion to taking the actions, to doing everything possible to advance the best interest of our nation above all others. So patriotism, we honor, embrace our founding principles. And I think in part of that, you must acknowledge that God is part of those founding principles. So you cannot be a truly patriotic American unless you understand that this country was given to us, was founded, and our opportunity is given by God and the sacrifices that came before us to be given this. Then the nationalism is our call to action, that we must take action to do everything we can, that loyalty to our country to advance the best interest. And I think where Christians and a lot of people get confused is, as you said, it has gotten this negative connotation thanks to the Marxists, the socialists, who want to redefine words. Well, don't let them. Keep these good words. Use the word nationalism. Because as a Christian, you should be both patriotic and you should also be a nationalist for your country when your country is righteous, because this makes our nation strong. Now, when I say that you put your country's best interest above all others, it's not at their expense. Right. It's not imperialistic. It's not going and hurting others. It has is not aggressive at all. Instead, it's simply, as President Trump does, is saying, make our nation, our core, our strength, our economy, you know, our jobs, our families, make that as strong as it can be. And as you and I spoke earlier, do not allow other nations in these global pacts to bring us down. We have no business letting ourselves be infringed by any other nation and what they want, whether it's the European Union, whether it's allies, it makes no difference. But this is not at the expense of other countries. This is simply focusing upon your own country, just like I bet everyone listening to me focuses upon their family before they go out and help other people and their families who may be in need. In fact, God expects you to take care, love yourself, love your family, love your community, and love your nation. You don't put what is going on in other countries above the best interest of your own. So I don't see how any Christian can be anything but patriotic and also embrace nationalism. Amen. And we developed, listen, this country developed into this unique beacon of liberty, not by globalism, not by any of that, but we developed strongly because of our own ingenuity, our Christian values. Mm-hmm. We created a nation like no other. We're talking today, you know, we've just had Independence Day. And if Americans would actually focus upon those founding principles, they would understand it's more than waving our beautiful flag. That's our symbol and our beautiful patriotic music. It then translates into what you're going to do. And that's where your nationalism comes in, that my country first, just Amen. Like my family first.
Amen. Amen. And not only that, we also hear that, you know, well, you know, the founding fathers, you know, the lies of history have been spread down through the centuries, you know, and now we know that most of the founding fathers were deists or atheists. You know, because they owned slaves, so that they couldn't be godly men and women, you know, those lies couldn't be farther from the truth. I mean, if taken as a whole and you actually read their writings and the documents, they had a unique view of God, and many of them even had to memorize the Bible as children.
They were incredible.
Yeah, many of them included references to scriptures in all of their writings, even in the documents.
Yeah, you are exactly. And all of the founding documents, as the states developed, did the same. They were forming their communities. Now, when people bring up, just like you said, about nationalism or racism or the founding fathers, listen, human beings are fallible. Mm-hmm. Nobody on this earth has been perfect, except for Jesus, the Son of God, taking form as a human being here with us. But no other person walking this earth is perfect before the eyes of God. We've all fallen short. However, that doesn't define us. What defines us is our orientation, path, and the action we choose each and every day. And the founding fathers of this nation, those revolutionaries who fought, and everyone who has come since to build this nation into the greatness it had and has now been restored, were fallible men. Nevertheless, they stayed on that path of righteousness. They were endeavoring to do the truth. And that is what you focus upon on an individual now and then, is the good that they chose to do. And those men were geniuses. When you read their writings, their understanding of God, so much deeper. And some of these men were so young. It is incredible to me, for example, to read the writings of Benjamin Franklin when he was a teenager. Yeah. You would think that perhaps you're reading a scholar, a philosopher, when he's 70 years old. It is so advanced, and yet he was a teenager, which speaks not only to their education, but to their spiritual education. Yep. So you cannot use that. And, you know, that negative connotation you spoke of regarding nationalism, that's just a redefining by the radical liberals. They've adulterated its definition. They've maligned it. And the evil people throughout history, no matter who you want to think of, were not nationalist. Because nationalist is, again, as I say, is putting the focus upon your nation above all others. It does not in any way infer that you go and subjugate and oppress other peoples whatsoever. You simply focus on making it as good as you can for your own. So that word is frequently misused.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, it's when you look at what they say about the founding fathers, and you know they always throw up slavery, you know, as how that just proves how immoral and anti-God these people really were, because they allowed slavery in the foundation of this nation. But concerning the slavery being allowed, the Constitutional Convention almost failed because of slavery, because they couldn't come to an agreement on it. One, you know, the Southern states wanted it, the Northern states didn't. But the Constitution was approved because they finally came to an agreement to allow each state to start off to make its own decision on an issue, with the understanding that Congress would come together and take up the issue and come to a workable solution at some point in the future. That's why some 80 years later hadn't been reached yet, and you know the northern states were trying to influence it, and then the southern states said, you know what, we're out of here, type thing, and that started the Civil War.
Sadly, it was very sad, though. It's very sad. But to use that to detract, I believe, is simply rationalizing their rejection of the fundamental philosophy and spiritual orientation of the founders. Yeah. It is irrelevant. It is a moot point, and that is what they resort to versus looking at all the wonderful, really miraculous work that they gave to us. And it's up to each of us to continue it now.
Yeah, and now we, or what's in the news? We need slave reparations.
Nonsense.
One of the politicians says something along the lines of, there's been nobody alive has been a slave, you know, in their lifetime. Not one person right now was a slave. And why should my grandchildren pay for something to happen for your great-great-grandfather? You know, why should the future generations be paying for the mistakes of our past? We fixed it, you know, type of thing. And,
right.
You know, that's you know, and what...
Well, historically, it's complete nonsense. It's just more of the Marxist agenda. Let me make you understand how much of a victim you are. You're
right.
A victim to this day. You don't need any personal responsibility. You're owed everything. And the fact of the matter is that the federal government, and as well as our states, have provided monetary reparations to people they've harmed. But those were to people who were alive, such as Japanese Americans who had been interned in World War II. I believe recent history, might have been 2014 or somewhere around there, North Carolina, gave payments to victims of its eugenics program.
Yep.
And it's rare, but it's throughout American history. And that was to address wrongs previously committed. But the difference is all of these examples, whatever they are, were monetary reparations made directly to living survivors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, that's the only thing that is justified. But, you know, all of this is gaining popularity among those who are not Christian, and they might want to delude themselves and call upon God and go to church once a week. But the fact of the matter is, if you're for something like reparations, if you're for something like, you know, all of these socialist programs, you're not taking responsibility for your life. And God calls upon each of us to take that responsibility. In terms of slavery, that's an evil. It's been in existence, you know, for thousands of years. And all ethnic groups have been enslaved.
Yeah,
talk about the nonsense, including a lot of, you know, when you take a look at a lot of the nationalities here. Look, we all built this country. We all brought what we could. And I think that, you know, we should be focusing on the freedom, you know, free markets, eradicating, you know, regulations, just freedom to live your life and make your business. And then you're going to do well. True Christians who understand about personal responsibility in their personal lives also understand it about in this sense. And they would never be a part of that. They just want to be productive. They want to use their energy and time for their liberty, for their freedom. You know, so, you know, that's just becoming popular. People want political support,
more,
you know. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you this. Well, that's not the way it works. And it never has. It is quite destructive. But, you know, you really think about a person who would even advocate for these candidates who are saying that. They're not going to achieve this. Righteousness will prevail. Nevertheless, those people who get pulled into that, what kind of human being are you? You want things given to you. You want to go back hundreds of years and claim something. Well, no. You know, that goodness comes from your own development and doing what you can in spite of your personal circumstances. And the fact of the matter, being born in this country, you've got it all. Take it and run with it. That's what you do. I can't see how anyone can feel well about proclaiming any of these candidates' names, because it really shows you are lacking inside of you and who you are.
Yep. Amen. I agree. Hey, everyone. Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time with part two of our three-part interview with Christine Smith. As you can tell, she has some awesome views on conservatism and Christian conservatives in the United States of America and the lack thereof in Washington, D.C. right now, even in the Republican Party. We need a complete overhaul, basically. I mean, we were talking and you heard us discuss how the demonic influences in D.C., is just destroying this nation from the top down. And we need a total overhaul, just a purge of the system. We need to elect Christian conservatives to Congress. We need to take this country back. The only answer for this nation and the problems we're facing right now is Jesus. That's the one thing that you should be able to get from these interviews. Now, come back tomorrow, because we're going to wrap up our interview with Christine Smith. And go down to her website. Go to www.christinesmith.us and take a look around on her website. Reach out to her. Ask her questions. And, you know, she'll be responding to you. I mean, she is a very personable person. And I'm telling you right now, you want to be following her on Facebook. Go down below and follow her on Facebook as well. Stay in tune with what she is visualizing, the problems in America, the answers to America's problems in America, who the movers and shakers are that are creating the problems in America, and of course, how we both agree that Donald Trump is a modern-day Cyrus concerning the salvation of America, God's last chance for America to repent and get it straight. Now, come back tomorrow. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.